Hey everyone, welcome to the finale of The Enemy Within, Simon Furman's first story arc in the UK comics. I am here today, as usual, with Boo, but also I'm here with Andres. Welcome, man.
Yay.
We need a little chaos in this.
This is what I do.
Yeah. He's a chaos Karen.
I have the attention span of a windmill on a skateboard.
that's pretty apt. Yeah, actually, that's
I tried.
Yeah, wear like clogs, like the wooden clogs as it rode the skateboard, like it's from Holland.
Yeah, I got, so first of all, I love the cover. Is that one reflection of on the last issue is in black and white? It looks like the way he's reflecting, it's supposed to be smoke or something, but it looks like he's got an afro in the side of his visor, and it's all
Like something's like an explosion's reflecting off it, like that's the mushroom cloud or something.
And he's got a big hairy mole on his forehead.
He does, as I'm saying. he's got this great like Joker laugh, like thing composite behind him.
Oh yeah, all the ha's.
Yeah, it's like I said, man. I'm talking about last issue. They are like really accentuating the jawline and the extended chins, like a villain, like a Silver Age villain from us.
Yeah, this is more of Mike Collins' work.
Yeah, exactly.
What's with Jazz's like wide nosed Autobot symbol here?
Well, they're swinging with that one there. It's like a Spuds McKenzie.
It does actually. at least Sunstreaker's yellow in this one.
Free gift been ripped off the cover here.
Yes, right. The pin.
Yeah, Megatron on this one. Yes. Some of them came with Optimus, like they switched them up.
Is that a chase?
Well, yeah, I also look at this front cover, like, because this picture, I think last time the Autobots were in color and the Megatron was not, but Prowl has his jawline also, but the Autobot symbol on Jazz looks kind of like the original Autobot symbol on the box art for Bumblebee and Cliffjumper.
Oh yeah, that weird like stretched out one.
Yeah. I wonder if that's where they got it from. Maybe some of the box art. I don't know.
Possibly.
Did they misspell Porsche?
Was that?
Did they misspell
it's Porsche? Just cut off, I think.
Oh, yeah,
this is an Orsha.
All right.
Yeah. For once, the letters of the editor is pretty tame. Not really much going on here. They talk about the setup the book is. And man, my one complaint, actually, this issue is the Transformers are so short.
Well, I'll tell you something that's kind of cool, though. They make an offer, like anybody that wants their birthday printed in here. Just send them the birthday wish like 8 weeks ahead of time, and they'll print as many as they can. They're so nice to their readers in the UK.
Give things to them. Yeah, like
Mrs. Packer.
A letter from a mom to get her son's birthday in the issue. Yeah, she's two issues late, but
her name's Mrs. Packer, man.
Oh, I gotta hand it to her. That was pretty nice.
Yeah, that was nice. I'd have been overjoyed if my parents got me a birthday wish in the Transformers comic.
No
joke. Comes out like on your birthday week.
You see, you pick up your issue and you're like the one person in your town reading, like, oh, mom, thanks.
Right.
But I don't know about that though, because there's another complaint letter in this about not being able to find it, like it's getting sold out everywhere.
No, it's the same letter from last issue.
Is it? Oh,
I went and checked, and it is same, the answer and everything. They just reprinted the same question and answer.
Those cheapos, man.
Yeah, I thought I had the wrong issue when I ran across that one.
Am I reading it again? Yeah,
I was like, man,
Christopher Toynbee.
Well, I knew we had talked about this last week, so I knew it had to be like the next issue, but I'm like, that seems familiar, but maybe it's an epidemic. I don't know.
They're trying to drum up demand.
Optimus is looking up at it disapprovingly.
Right? Yeah, yes. But then the fact file this month is Soundwave, which always a favorite of mine. You know,
can't go wrong with Soundwave.
Oh, yeah, no, man. Like, cries and screams are music to my ears. Man, I love that. Just getting that sadistic Soundwave feel. He blackmails other Decepticons when he needs something. He reads more like Starscream's attitude as far as like trying to get ahead and trying to advance. But if you look at how they're doing it in the Skybound, he's immediately doing that. He's taking command. He's like, okay, if this is gonna be like this, I'm taking command.
I think, judging by his profile, he's Beskar from Babylon 5.
Oh, he 100%.
Yeah.
So is this page like only a four color?
Yes.
It looks like it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's I mean, honestly, compared to what we get from the American comics and old Yamtov.
Oh, it's still colored better than Yamtov.
Yeah,
Like that guy drew nothing but decoys.
Yeah.
Okay,
crowds of decoys.
With the RoboCapers, I had to look up what half-day closing was.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you that.
Okay, on Wednesdays in the UK, they actually required by law back then. I don't know if they're still doing it, but on Wednesdays they would close at half day.
Every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday, it was from the Shop Hours Act in 1904, and it given local councils the power to require single half day closing. Yeah,
Okay.
but it's only when like 2/3 of the retailers agreed to it, but they would have that. So the joke there is, you know, they're sending out for what he requires, and he needed a bag of potatoes for the shops closed early.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the joke. He's like, oh man, now we need some potatoes.
That's
They're
a
about to
joke.
close.
Oof. Yeah,
That's a joke.
that's not Heathcliff.
Oh yeah.
Now,
Well,
why
you know.
where's No Nose's crown here?
Oh, he's got he's got the little beanie with the propeller on it right now. But yeah, you know, it's like the old Miracle Whip commercial where the guy shows up at the store right when it closed and he's got his empty Miracle Whip jar like
That's
clinking
right.
it. Yeah. And so this guy's thinking ahead and sending the robot to go get some taters.
I mean, dude, if I had a robot, I'd
Responsible.
do that too. It's a lot cheaper than you're getting was it the God, I'm trying to think, the Instacart stuff.
Yeah.
Did he create Uber Eats here?
Yes.
Or DoorDash?
Look, see, AI has already taken the jobs there.
Yeah. Hey, you know,
Man.
you snooze, you lose.
But yeah, the stock exchange this month isn't really that bad. I gotta hand it to the guy. I'm trying to get Frenzy and Laserbeak for Gears and Huffer. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but you know, okay, we've got the first jump starter that showed up in the stock exchange,
I'll
Twin
say
Twist.
that.
Yeah, and he wants to trade that and Rumble for Skywarp, and that's kind of a lopsided deal. I mean,
It's better than it's been. You know,
it's
Twin
Twist was my first Transformer.
was
Oh,
it?
nice. I liked him.
Yeah, oh
Yeah,
yeah. Now jump starters are cool. I like them.
yeah.
I like that they're cheap too now, so you can just get loads of them.
Like I
Fred
said,
used to do
this is my favorite, my first.
at Dairy Con, they used to do jump starter races every year.
Oh, that's funny. I know they customize a lot of them into toilets.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah, I think it was last year or the year prior, like after what, 20 years of jump starter races, he boxed up all 50 of them and gave those out as exclusives with individual numbers on them.
Perfect.
So the
Perfect.
veterans.
Yes.
God.
They're retiring them.
I've seen a lot of people online like just customizing, like doing an army of all, like switching the parts from Twin Twist and Top Spin. So they're
Yeah.
very,
Well,
like,
yeah.
they're like all blue or all white.
Salt Man.
Well, yeah. Salt
Well,
Man,
that
yeah.
like it's an easy loose toy to find.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're not always in great shape. And that's the best part of weight about cannibalizing them.
So, did you guys see Wayne McCarthy trying to turn the Pen Pals into a personals ad?
Whoa, I did
Oh,
not
yeah.
see that. Whoa, I
Yeah,
gotta
okay.
get
Wayne
this.
McCarthy is age 13. He would like a girl pen pal of 12 who shares his hobbies of football, art, athletics, and riding his bike.
Wow.
So she has to be interested in riding his bike.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's shopping for a girlfriend in there. So is that
I
the
gotta
first
hand it to him.
Transformers personal ad?
I gotta hand it to him. That's pretty ballsy.
That's clever.
That's funny. yeah.
Wayne McCarthy, 1985 Mac Daddy.
We ought to look him up. See what he's up to today.
Oh man.
He's probably got like, four kids from three different marriages now.
That's a pretty common name.
Yeah.
Hey,
Hey, were you the Wayne
were
McCarthy wrote a letter in the personals?
you hitting on chicks in Transformers UK magazine?
And that's actually pretty good too, because when I was 13 and girls were 12, I was like, I'm still not into it too much. So he's starting early. Good on him.
See the guy, the one above him, like this dude's into Frankie Goes to Hollywood and the A Team. Like that sounds the better catch. He sounds more fun.
Yeah,
He just
definitely.
wants you to relax.
And that kid's only 9. Like he knows what up.
Freaky
And
to
his postal
Hollywood.
code looks like it's leet speak or something. Right? I mean, I can't make out what that's supposed to be, but I mean, it looks like it's a code. SK121EY.
Skidley.
What? Wow. Yeah. Sky. Yeah, dude, it looks like it. That's code.
Yeah.
That's code.
I could Sky Trey. No.
I could see that name posting misinformation back in the day.
Right.
Freaky goes to Hollywood, A-Team of computers.
You know what that is? That's like some, like, was it some secret code from a spy? Like, that was like, okay, read Transformers on this date, and we'll let you know, what the passcode is, you know?
They just activated a sleeper cell.
Right?
There's a God. Yeah, you know, there's some like kind of like code breaking book he's got to go through. Like, okay, what does SKY together mean? But
Yeah,
dude,
drink your Ovaltine.
the best thing in the whole issue though is coming up right now. Chromobots, the one
Chromobots.
book where nothing really happens, but actually,
Micron.
we got something actually happening this time.
This Micron.
It's Iron Man with no face.
It is actually.
Oh.
He freaking the Predator,
I like his
Predator, not the.
asymmetrical arms, though.
Wow.
Yeah, his arms don't match.
That's weird.
Looks like he's got
Like,
an
he's a
eight ball
Super
for an
Skrull.
elbow. He's like Armor War Scroll.
So, yeah, he's flying above this building and comes across Tessa Stone, who, by the way, is
The
drawn
write
really
up on
well.
her.
Was that?
The write up on her. Like,
Dude, there's a huge write-up. There's it's like a personal ad for Tessa Stone. She's done all this stuff.
yeah.
She owns this corporation and blah. She looks her art. You know the female you know it, the female Jesus, the woman in RoboCop who is his partner?
Oh, yeah,
Looks
Lewis.
just
Ann
like
Lewis.
her. Yeah.
Yeah,
Oh
I can see
yeah.
that.
It looks it's kind of that she was in another movie before that. I want to God, what movie was that? Where she was a she was out of a at a dance club or something. Anyways, she looked like feathered hair like right here. I can't remember what it is right now. I'll figure it out later when I'm on this.
Elizabeth Holmes.
There, yeah, like yeah, in Super Skrull Predator here, he like shows up and like abducts her. And then
Well, wasn't she in Carrie?
she was.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of. She's from Carrie. She's one of the mean girls in Carrie.
Yeah.
She had that kind of punkish feathered hair look.
Yeah,
Yeah.
wasn't she in the car with John Travolta when boom?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's exactly her. Oh man, it looks just like her though. That's crazy. But yeah, so Predator abducts her because he needs a way to deal, use their technology and the nuclear, arsenal we have. Because apparently, Dr.
Yeah.
Stone does everything, including creating nuclear warheads.
Yeah, because that's what she does. She's in the development for nukes, so. Yeah, and
She.
here's the Predator standing up here like a pulp novel cover with her on the rooftop.
He
Oh yeah.
is. He
I like
is.
how he reached out with like both hands. It was like, call upon your deity. None may save Predator.
Where's your God now?
Right?
His arms, you look even more messed up here. Is like the left one is the left one like firing out to get ahead of him?
Kind of
I
looks
don't
like
know.
it,
I
like
think
there's
it's just
cables.
the way his arm is, but yeah, it's he looks like he's going for a boob grab, honestly. On
It kind of does with both hands.
the
He is a
stands.
predator. I mean, there we are.
He later became president in 92.
Oh.
I could play the saxophone. Yeah, they show up at
Big
Dudley's
Niner.
house, just hanging out on the roof with
Right. I mean,
Dudley,
why
like
would you
still
go
more
straight
messed up
to.
than.
Well, he's like holding Tessa Stone like a rag doll because she's
Yeah.
either killed or
He's
she's been.
posing for a cover.
Yeah,
Like,
he really is.
Doc Savage is going to come in on him.
That's like a Frazetta painting or something, you know?
Paperback Paradise.
Okay, so the Transmute flies up in like sucker punches Predator. Where did she go? I don't see her anywhere.
Well, she's
Right?
falling down that roof,
I was
duh.
gonna say she's about to go down that roof.
But yeah, he apparently headed straight to Dudley's house with her because, they were at like her penthouse apartment or whatever. Or,
Yeah, well, I
yeah.
mean, Dudley is like what, 12? He
Yeah,
is
but they're
a
downtown when
predator.
he grabs her.
He's excited to see Dudley.
Girl reference.
Dudley, come on out. I got something to show you. I got some candy in my van.
Yeah, now I see the Super Skrull reference. Look at that widow's peak.
Yeah. Right. It even looks kind of like he has the ears.
Yeah.
It's so good. Super Skrull, and like, I can make that a robot watch.
Hey, Evan.
Yo.
What do you get when you cross Braun with Rumble?
Rumble? Oh.
A mess.
Oh, man.
That's the joke on the next page. Next to Transformer Super really? Search. Look in the margin.
I did the worst search.
Hugo.
I didn't realize. Oh, God. Well, I did the worst search. I could not find. The only one I could not find.
What the hell is the Zaz one?
Was Gears. Gears was the only one I could not find. I'm like, oh. I'm like, what?
Oh, those aren't the words in the crossword. Okay.
No, they're jumbled, and then you got to find them.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. I'm okay. Like, oh, God, I see the joke.
Matsuzzi!
God. Yeah, I actually I couldn't find Gears. So if you find Gears, that let me know where it's at, because I found every one of them. I highlighted and took a screenshot and did that so I can upload it for
Moscow's.
The what's that?
Moscow's.
Oh, yeah, he's my favorite.
Lebumbeb. Lebumbeb.
Mikturachus.
But Funker Tree.
Then we jump to the opening of The Enemy
yeah,
Within.
I could be on this all day.
I know exactly. Well, that's why I'm moving on.
Yep.
That we open to the last part of The Enemy Within with an explosion. It is a base explosion to start the issue out. And
I like how even the onomatopoeia has texture.
He does, actually. Bahoom.
Yeah. The top letters got singed.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, so we left off Starscream shooting missiles at Gears, Braun, who's going like, hey, I surrender. And I think we all know what's going on here. And all the Autobots are, no, Braun. And they're all sad because Braun's dead. And, you know.
Much as I like the art, what's with Prime's face here?
It is so toy accurate. He looks like super evil. He looks like Shredder in Prime had a baby.
Right?
Mirage Shredder.
Oh, man.
Hey, he's got the hairy mask, too.
He does.
He's got facial hair.
Yeah, Optimus Prime's like, well, okay, if Mirage did what he's supposed to, we'll be fine. All the Autobots are just like crying over Braun being dead. And Optimus Prime does not say anything to them. They're all mourning the loss of Braun this entire time. Yeah. So next panel, we have Starscream's flying over. He's excited. He feels pretty proud of himself, you know. Everyone was watching him when he did that, and when Ravage shoots him out of the sky.
Ravage just backshot him out of nowhere.
Oh, the unfettered wrath.
That is a camper if I ever saw one. He was like, there we go, done. And so Starscream for the second issue in a row goes down. Well, actually, no, we had one, it was one back, goes down in a flaming mess.
What was that monkey wrench and G.I. Joe that did that when they were doing the Dreadnoks tryouts? Just waited till the last to blast them.
I think so.
All wear themselves out fighting.
Yep. Yeah. Anyways, Soundwave and Rumble show up and they were like, what happened? And then Ravage is there and he's like, it was the Autobots. I watched them. Man, Soundwave is not, he's not as, I don't know. You figure Soundwave would be in on it, but no. Megatron is like, he's so excited. He shows up. He's like, man, full on support to go after the Autobots and the Ark. He has got them all.
Oh, yeah. Well, he used it to reassert his station.
Oh, he did. He did. Which is kind of interesting. It's more diabolical, more planning than we're used to from the Sunbow. Mirage also shows up at the Ark full of mourning Autobots and announces how his powers have been increased, allowing him to make very believable holograms. So, you know, we talk about what we were talking about during the Rise of the Beast, where Mirage's original power was to make really, it's like he does a displacer beast. He can make really strong mirages around him, doing what, essentially what Hound does in the show. So this was his first stint going after, including explosions and all that kind of stuff. So he's like able to put on really nice mirages and use that to.
I took a peek at issue 18's answer to this. And yeah, Gears is not in there. They messed up. They put an R. They mistyped an R where they should have put the E. So it says Grars.
I saw that one. Man, so I did it right.
Yeah, you just couldn't find Gears because they messed up. But on the where they showed the solved answer, it has the E. So apparently they put an older version
in here. Grars.
Yes.
Nice, guys. I mean, come on. 39 years ago, you couldn't fix this?
Grars Garvin.
Grars Garvin.
I love you some Gears Garvin, man. He's so much better than this mess. Anyway, I'll get to that eventually.
With Mirage walking Braun in here saying, hey, give us a hand. And is he making a joke because his left arm wasn't drawn in?
I didn't notice that. Let me see. You can see it.
Are you talking about Braun's?
Yeah.
No, it's hanging limp, like next to his leg.
Now I see it.
Yeah, his arms are so spindly on the toy pictures of this.
Yeah, these are all toy deck. Oh, and look, it's the same picture of the Autobots looking. That's the same one that's on the cover.
Yep.
Yeah, and Porsche, it's got the rest of the Porsche.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, also
got the P.
Yes. Also, did you notice that Megatron once again has the same gold coloring on his chest, like the toy picture and toy art?
Yes.
So they're keeping to that, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's like Gina Hart's hallmark for Megatron. She really stuck to that color scheme.
She used everything she had.
That inspired the there's a variant of the Masterpiece Megatron done in that color scheme.
I just saw that.
I was wondering. Yeah. I was like, they should do more of those. I would like to see a whole line, you know, like how they're doing like the screen accurate stuff. I'd like to see a comic accurate line with the purple sound waves and the dark helmet Megatron and stuff.
Maybe because I mean they just did the Straxus.
Yeah.
And they've got Flame and Zaron coming up.
Yeah, well, since they're doing those with the, you know, the little comic book boxes, I guess, that'd be cool if they did more of those.
That would be
I wonder
nice.
If they would give the purple Soundwave a mouth, like he has pretty often in the comics. Or give him a removable faceplate so he can do either one.
we get back to the line art, which I'm cool with, and the line art's, you know, great in these books. Collins, once again. But there's a scene where they're talking about how they, you know, Mirage saved Braun and stuff. They're all really sketchy drawn in this next panel.
Yeah, looked like they didn't finish the inks on that page.
Yeah. Yeah, whoever the inker was, the tracer, you know.
The tracer.
Yeah, and Prime's got some stubble here below his eye.
He does. What is with that? But, Megatron in the next panel is really, like, weirdly proportioned. Like, he looks small or something. I don't know.
I like how the back of his head's pointy and his chin's all pointy.
Oh, yeah. Very much, like, toy accurate.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's just the rough pencils and then, like, the ones that are in color that they complete because they
ink it. The page was done in a hurry. They needed to wrap it up.
Yeah. Especially, like, look at Soundwave. He's wide. He's a...
They match pretty much the toy proportions.
They did, and that's probably what it is, honestly. But they also, whoever this is, Skywarp or Thundercracker, he's got those Oakleys on, just like Starscream. So
I could never get those stickers to stay on. Like you put them on, they would just fall off. Like,
yeah, they're terrible.
Yeah.
So yeah, after all this, they get are talking about getting the Decepticons together. They're going to go raid the Ark, and Megatron's like, "Go get Starscream, put him in the infirmary. Let's go." So
yeah, this is leading up to the next story arc.
Yeah, he was all about. Well, is it the next arc or is this come after the original, four part or eight parter? I guess.
Yeah, we get the Raiders of the Last Arc, which this is the last part before like issue four. Like this is the stuff that takes place between issues three and four of the limited series.
Okay.
And then after that, they'll kick into like issue five. You know the. Famous Shockwave cover.
Yeah. They're going to go take over Auntie.
Yes.
But yeah, once again, man, like Megatron has those like high cheekbones, like big pitted old chin and stuff. He looks so much like a Green Goblin kind of, you know, villain face.
Put that face on the front of a truck.
In a really coke ridden movie. though we get into something very Interesting. I don't know. I wasn't really interested in this one.
Yeah, why is this in here?
Because they were fluffing out the issue, I think.
It's just filler. They're actually from Belgian Tintin.
Yes.
Comics. And this is another one from Tintin. Let's see. This one was from February 21st, 1984. From Le Journal de Tintin.
I mean, they're nicely drawn. I just don't care. I've watched The Rock. I know what's going on at Alcatraz, man. Come on.
Yeah, it just gives you a brief history of Alcatraz, like how it was opened, what happened there, and then when pelicans. They shut it down.
Nothing but pelicans.
Yeah, right? The Pelican Island there.
And then Henry Kissinger looking guy over here.
Yeah. Henry Kissinger, we'll be seeing you. There's
apparently James Dean was locked up in there for a while.
Oh, yeah.
On page 14 at the top.
Nice.
He's escaping. Blam!
They're talking about how no one really escaped. And
like, body out of a river here. Holy hell.
Right.
They were talking about the Birdman of Alcatraz, all the famous people we already all know about. So,
right.
No biggie. Nothing I learned anyways. And then, but the next page, they have one that's nice still frames from that original, commercial teaser for the toys. The one that had the black helmet.
This was the comic, the original Marvel Comics commercial.
Yes. That's the one it was. When they had the black helmet, Megatron and stuff. I always love that, that commercial. But dude, next page after that is a beautiful advertisement for the Insecticons.
Nice. The new ones.
The Warooters.
Yeah, they are
Warooter colors on them.
They totally are. Once again, they had the probably the toys from the Warooters that hadn't done the final colors on the ones for Transformers.
Yeah, they were working from the Diaclone colors.
But they look
Norman Rockwell. Norman Rockwell kid here is telling you go get them.
Right.
they look good. That art of them is fantastic.
He's got like Victor Drath's like jacket on from like season 3.
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's future Victor Drath right there in 2006. He's going to be a crime boss.
This is where he started. They were a bad influence.
And look how happy he is for evil Insecticons. He's like, look, they're evil.
He knows what up.
Right? That dude has a cerebro shell in his head, if anybody ever did.
I'm just running along.
But man, unfortunately, that's where all my joy ends, because Machine Man is back. and not even Machine Man. He's actually kind of enjoyable. I hate Madame Menace.
Madame Eyeshadow.
She's terrible.
Rocky Horror Picture Show here.
She does. Right?
It looks like she started Gene Simmons makeup and then just gave up. When she got to the eyes.
Yeah, she went full Juggalo there. No hate to any of our Juggalo fans, if there are any. But she shows up and locks Machine Man in an electric magnetic stasis field. And he starts to quip. He's lobbing Spider-Man style lines back at her.
I think that's why Machine Man's getting better, because they gave him like more personality.
They gave him a personality, you mean? Yes.
Right. Instead of complaining about how much humans suck.
Yeah. I want to be one, but I hate them.
Right.
He's got that Gears garbage janky arm still. I think
it was after Gears Garvin fixed him that he got like this attitude. So,
oh yeah,
I think maybe Gears did a little reprogramming on him.
When Gears put that gold foil on his head, he gave him a little fixer upper in there.
That's what it was. It was like all the gas station microwaves are like frying his brain, like he had a plate in his head. So
he got him some gas station drugs and worked on a Machine Man.
I'll just hang around until you return.
Right. And then he does this Stretch Armstrong thing.
He does. Actually, he does one of the things that really actually makes a lot of sense. He lets his arms go to the electric magnetics, or the sources of the magnets.
Well, one arm and one foot. So he's like playing Twister with their trap.
And the mooks are like, yeah, we got him. He's done now. And he just crushes both magnets.
The shattered glass Rorschach.
Group. Right. They're terrible. They're some of the worst mooks. These guys actually look like vipers, like Cobra Vipers, with the mask ones, like the reverse Rorschachs.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, or maybe like a little bit of Snake Eyes.
Oh yeah,
one guy dressed like Two Face.
So, X-51, yeah, beats of the Mooks, and he flies off the pier with his Gears Garvin, you know, glowing arm up ahead of him. He's just gonna track the boat where Madame Menace is.
Well,
is
apparently out. They're just like not far off the pier because he can still detect his arm.
Yeah.
Oh, it's glowing. I thought he was like he whipped out a buzzsaw here.
Yeah, no, I was going to say he has like a hot rod buzzsaw looking thing. Yeah. Yeah, that's his detector.
Do you see, okay, on the boat, Madame Menace is there. Who is Zarkov? He looks like a cowboy. Like,
look at that. Like, a scientist from Flash Gordon, don't you know?
Oh, kind of does look like it. He's a Zarkov. Zarkov. But man, he looks like a Galaxy Ranger. He's got like this bandana around his neck and like a form-fitting shirt and a cool utility belt.
He's got the bracers on and all that.
Yeah,
so.
that's a Galaxy Ranger right there. But we have, of course, Juggalo Madam. She's trying to talk about all these things she's doing, and she's kind of bragging early. There's this crewman on the deck whenever Machine shows up. Madre de Dios!
What's he holding? Is that a flare gun?
I think it's like a blow dryer.
It's a grease gun. He's gonna grease up that arm. This is like Shades of Top Secret here.
Oh, this is awful.
He got a robot arm, dude.
The demon from his feet.
He shows up with that janky arm, like held up, like it's glowing. I'm expecting like a Kirby, you know, crackles coming from the arm, the way it's glowing.
But yeah, that henchman, he looks like a Central American revolutionary.
He does.
He's got a Che shirt on under that.
He does. The beret and a Che shirt.
Right.
Okay, so yeah. Machine Man shows up.
Demon rises from the sea to attack us.
Yeah. Yeah, even though you got a Halloween lady standing over here and that's the demon.
Right. I'm like, that's a very loose interpretation of a demon.
When Machine Man comes on board, he's like been trying about getting the arm back now. Zarkov, you know, our Galaxy Ranger here, he goes, "Methinks I'll save some gold. While the lady's distracted, I'll snatch her sample case and hit the waves." I hate all these people. They're the worst villains.
Yeah, he's like a hip talking, I don't know. Criminal mastermind.
He looks like he belongs on the first season of Westworld, trying to get in character. He's a billionaire.
You know what? This was Destro's dad, I bet.
Oh God, it probably was.
He's got that style and scarf.
Yeah.
No wonder I hate him so much. but he Machine Man does a Machine Man thing, spins around and starts beating people and knocking them off the boat.
He hits the torso twist button.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, he's Cyclone. He's a spinner. They should have done this for Secret Wars.
Yeah, no joke. And like Madame Menace shoots Zarkov in the shoulder, and he's like, "My shoulder!" And tries to grab the case and run.
Zing!
Yeah. But, old Machine Man shows up. He's like, he finally figures out where he pulls off a fingernail to pick up the signal on his Homer. He has this fingernail he pulls off the top of, and there's like, it looks like a little tiny, like, whenever you pull off the foam off of old earphones, it looks like one of those little earphone things.
He's gonna call Dick Tracy with that.
He does.
You know what? He stole Scrounge's gimmick before Scrounge had the gimmick. So,
oh yeah.
I guess there was another like it.
But
you know, there was no other like, yeah.
Yeah.
So his finger sensors, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. He uses his fingers, goes through the deck, and finds out there's a bomb on board. What was the point of having a bomb on board? They're trying to make a sale. I don't know if they're trying to double cross, but where are they going?
Said because they're too close to the harbor authorities. So he's getting rid of the evidence.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we go back to a little Planet Terry.
Oh yeah, and he found a mighty Orbot.
He did. He did. Was that Boo or what was her name?
Boo or Bo? They both kind of
yeah
had that Robota look to them.
So. But honestly, I mean, I really like the way the thing's animated. I wish I liked it better or drawn.
She has real hair. That's like kind of odd.
It's very Cashier and Sins. Ever watch that anime? Where robots were it was really good. Robots are like basically look like people, but they're dying off because they're rusting. But yeah, they like she has hair and stuff. I don't
know her name already.
Was that?
How does he know her name already?
Because he's Planet Terry.
Oh, okay.
Oh, obviously. He's like an old Richie Rich character. He's got white hair and he's got a spacesuit. He's like Richie Rich and Flash Gordon had a baby.
Maybe that's just what she is like, because it's feminine for robot, and he's just not. You don't get a name, junk pile robot. You're just Robota.
Yeah, that actually makes sense.
Like, hello, human.
The suggestive mechanics are calling the good one by her serial number,
right?
look at them. Look at this.
Yeah, can I tighten your bolts?
Wow, can I change your oil. Ooh. The guy in the back's jumping for joy, like.
This looks like a margin comic from like Mad Magazine, like some Sergio Aragon.
It does. It really does. There's this great little scene in the bridge of the ship where Robota says, "You handle spaceships real well, Terry." And he goes, "I should. I was born in one." And she says, "What a quaint figure of speech." No, literally, I was born in a ship. Well, why is that a quaint figure of speech? But then he wants to show her something in the ship. Oh boy. Yeah. It basically he shows her his Superman, you know, escape pod ship thing he came in on whatever. It like I said, I wish I liked this comic better. It's fun. It's like something I would see in a Bazooka comic wrappers. You know, you pull it open like, oh, there's the next part of it.
Right.
Like Bazooka Joe style comics, but like drawn in a I think the reason I don't like this as much is because it's taken a valuable space that could have been Transformers.
Right.
I mean, we could add a 4-issue a series of Enemy Within and had, you know, less Alcatraz.
More relevant than Alcatraz, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just spitballing here. At least
right. She kind of looks like Silica from Star Chaser.
Oh, God, I got to look that up. I cannot remember that.
Yeah, it actually just came out about the same time, too.
Huh, okay. Oh, yeah, but I do like his ship. His ship looks like what they would... It looks like they took like an old, I don't know, old Ford Fairlane and put wings on it and stuff. It looks pretty cool.
It looks like an Oldsmobile up front.
Yeah. But yeah, it kind of reminds me of how they would draw Cybertronian forms, like when they're drawing like background characters when they're trying to show Cybertron. Like, we're going to put a car chassis and put wings all over it. And all of a sudden, it's a Cybertronian vehicle. But yeah, I kind of dig it. Like I said, this is very, this comic is very like Flash Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
And I like that in like the Richie Rich style animation. I expect this to be like a Gold Key comic.
Oh yeah, I think there's more Planetary in this comic than there was Transformers.
Oh, there is. That's like I said. That's why I was so pissed off about that. Like, come on, guys. But we get through that comic. Nothing really happens. There's a bunch of teasing. Like, I know who your parents are, and you know, like this, this, and that. And there, it's
oh yeah, they meet Enoch Diggs and his robot Hee Haw. Robot donkey.
Yeah,
and he figures out, oh, I know your parents, and they leave us hanging with that because, you know, we're really just biting our nails to find out who Planet Terry's
I'm gonna have to pick up issue 18 just to see who Planet Terry's parents are.
That's Race Bannon's kid. Look at his hair.
Oh right, man, it is.
I got hung up on the Pac-Man Jawbreakers ad myself.
I know, that was kind of cool.
Well, anytime you see Pac-Man is good
on a it looks like
he's taking his power pellet.
Yeah, he is.
He's gonna be up all night playing after that.
It looks like he's playing an old Amiga or something.
I like that fireball back then, man. That was the thing to get. To
see fireballs?
How long you could like, pack like all three of them in your mouth, see how long you could stand it.
Dude, we used to go to Sam's, get the big old things of fireballs, and I'd eat on those like crazy. Burn it like inside of your cheek could be raw.
I don't know why I've got cavities, Mom.
I don't know. I just eat fireballs every day, all day. Oh yeah, they were getting to the what is it? Enoch Diggs. And yeehaw, the robot donkey.
Robot ass.
I think the donkey is actually the most likable character so far.
He is.
Oh, wait. Oh, he's a burr robot.
Pardon. Yeah, burr robot.
God.
Yeehaw!
He grew up to be Bravestar's horse.
Thank God for him. So yeah, they just like bring Enoch Diggs back on the ship on his Chrysler with wings, and you know, talk about his engine, and you know, there, he spent like 38 years in the Astro Space Patrol. And that's why he thinks he knows his parents.
Well, I mean, how did Enoch and Yeehaw get out there? I mean, does he not have a ride? Has he just been stranded on whatever this is?
Well, maybe he took the parts from his ship and made Yeehaw.
Yeah, that sounds like a great investment.
I mean, yeah.
Skuckzoid's smarter than this.
His wife and kids.
Right?
Oh. That's so depressing.
What? That sat with me for a little while.
That was a great revelation.
I forgot. Considering, okay, sorry everyone. We're talking about a little bit part of Skybound number 9. There was the funniest thing in the season 3 is when the Skuckzoid would show up, like, I've got wife and kids.
Every time.
And he goes home to his wife and kids, and oh yeah.
Yeah. He just sits down. He's like, this never gets any easier. It's like, everything just got real serious real fast.
And you don't know, did they leave him? Are they dead?
He's looking for Cesardo.
Whatever it is, he's blacking it out.
Yeah, it's just like Rom with the bad divorce from DS9.
Oh, God. He is.
Except she took the kids, too. Maybe that's what it is. He has to pay alimony and child support.
Oh, my kids. Man, and then we go to Matt and the Cat.
Constructive thinking.
Oh, yeah, the constructive thinking ad.
Oh, that was. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, jump right past that. Yeah.
Yeah, the models. I want to see what those are actually like.
That's actually really kind of cool, yeah.
Oh, they're not Transformers models, though. They're just like geometric.
No. Yeah, they're geometric on paper models.
Yeah, when I first thought, I thought they were like, oh, they're Transformer models. Now, what I can't figure out, what is F supposed to be? I can't tell what Transformer that is.
Let me look. F. Is that? God, I don't know. Is that Hound? It's Hound. Look at the legs.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. They must have his windshield up.
Yeah, I bet they do. That's Hound. Yeah.
But the secret word is construction.
Oh!
Yeah, spoiler alert from 40 years ago. The secret word is construction. This reminds me of the Find the Decepticon thing from 86.
Oh, yeah.
Where you had to unscramble Unicron's name.
Also, when back to that word find, there were an awful lot of characters I didn't realize were out yet, like Warpath was in there. There are some other ones that but Warpath
Cosmos stuff. Was in there.
Who was that?
Yeah, Cosmos is right here.
Cosmos, yeah.
Thinking too.
Mm-hmm.
The kid doesn't have it because he doesn't know who it is.
Yeah, they played dirty with him.
They did. Warpath and Cosmos especially. That's pretty jerky of them. Okay.
It would have been even better if they put a sideswipe there. Like, you ain't got one.
Nobody's winning this model building kit.
Oh, man. Anyways, that was a nice last thing in this issue, because we go back to Matt and the Cat. And I wanted to like Matt and the Cat. There's just nothing
happening. In the next Machine Man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's just, Hump still hasn't eaten, and they still haven't been sold into slavery.
Yeah,
still, that's hanging over their heads, but...
Yeah, the robot version of the writer is walking him down. And, dude, he gives... he's got a Make Mine Marvel t-shirt on. But, yeah.
Enough said.
Yeah, pretty much.
Make mine anything but.
Next, we get back to Machine Man, and
he's in full bloom.
What's that?
He's in full bloom. Iron Man colors, man.
Right?
Oh, God. Yeah, he is. So yeah, the boat explodes. Cool, 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 whatever. And there's like debris raining down. Mishima is not looking for survivors, by the way. Keep that in mind.
They're criminals.
Yeah. And he does not look for anyone because there are people who are just like, they're jobbers. They're meat, they're ham and eggers on that boat.
Yeah.
He's like, well, they're dead now.
Even Zarkov was like, hey, my men know the score.
Yeah. And he like goes past looking for body parts or anything and goes and grabs the suitcase, gets his arm back, and he's good. We're all right now.
It's the worst suitcase like ever constructed, though. Like,
oh, the handle breaks off.
The handle just breaks off. It's like, that's not Samsonite.
It's like made of cardboard because it hits the water and starts falling apart.
Look at that. Yeah. He's got his foot on it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like he's trying to rip that off.
He did it to himself.
Yeah. And
arm.
He gets his arm and he flies away. He's happy now. And there's this cloud that is shaped and like drawn in of Madame Menace's face and hair.
With no eyes.
With, so. Yeah. It's very young. Like? Lois Lane.
You remember the Weekly World News when like a volcano would blow out and you'd see the devil's face in the
smoke?
Oh, yeah,
the face of Satan found in Mount Vesuvius.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and what of Menace? Did she truly perish in the fire explosion? I guess. I don't know, dude. You tell me. You didn't look for anybody.
Who cares? You got your arm back.
Yeah, you didn't look for any people. Yeah. All we know is she is she's rich and she is one arm less. That's all we know about her, and I'm good with that. I am very good with that. But and then we're done with Madame Menace finally. So we actually end up we close up two storylines. We close up the Madame Menace storyline, and we close up the enemy within storyline. I could talk, I promise.
I'm kind of glad they wrapped this one up. I was afraid they're going to stretch this out to like another issue with Madame Menace.
Oh, dude, I know. Like, what was
had to make room for Alpha Flight.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Is that what they said for next issue? Cast. Yeah, coming next issue, meet Alpha Flight and Machine Man's quest for his arm. He got his arm.
I think they're guest starring.
Yeah, man, it's probably like, hey, look, kids, it's Alpha Flight. Robot Roundup. I'm actually really happy to see Robot Roundup come back because I think it's going to keep us from seeing anything else about Alcatraz. Thank God.
Yeah, there's not too many of those fact files.
I'm so happy about that.
There's only a handful of them.
The last one was actually kind of interesting, especially the story you came up with that. But Alcatraz is just not doing it for me at all, man.
It's stationary and it's kind of dismal. The other one, I mean, you can't go wrong with like World War II submarine battles and stuff.
So that was The Enemy Within. And I want to ask you, Andres, what was your connection to the book? Because I know it was really important to you.
Oh, well, yeah. This was something that it was years ago when there were ads. You'd get like a chain email and send over for $5. We'll send you all the UK issues on a CD. Hmm. And I had a train ride down to Delaware and I loaded them all up on my laptop and was reading a bunch of them. And it's the scene of Toy Accurate Bronze smashing in the car.
Oh, yeah.
That one alone. And then Boo points that one out to me and he's like, this is you.
I love Braun jumping from the turnbuckle and landing on Starscream. That was one of my favorite freaking panels.
Like, oh, the action panels in The Enemy Within were great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a Ghostbusters ad here on the back. You want to join the second
issue of this? You can save the world. You too can save the world.
You can be a certifiable, I'm sorry, certified.
You know, I don't know how many cons I've been to where there's a local chapter of Ghostbusters trying to get me to sign up for their shit.
You kidding? Like,
no. Like, I don't know if this is everywhere, but like up here in New England, like the New England Ghostbusters are, they're super aggressive. They're like Mormons. Like, like I think they're going to give me a Ghostbusters chick track. Like every con I go to, there's just some goons dressed as Ghostbusters trying to get me to sign up.
Give me a chick trap with like Gozer's message on it,
right?
Gozer's last haunt. there's a, I mean, that's like, it sounds like the 501st or whatever, down around here. Like,
oh, yeah.
And dude, I stopped moderating at PentsCon. I did it for about 10 years, and every year I'd see all the 501st, which are cool, they're great. But then you see all the Mandalorians, and they're all very different painted armor. And
yeah,
I don't know, man. I kind of figured that that Stormtrooper armor wouldn't breathe as well as Mandalorian stuff, but it apparently does.
Well, the 501st, like, those guys have that down to a science. Yeah. Like they're you know, they're very well organized. Like they're pretty much like a security firm for conventions that you can hire on now.
They are actually.
I like how they always take over the Star Trek tables.
Well, but yeah, like any time I've seen 501st, like, those guys are more responsible than some police I knew. Like,
no, that's not.
Tell that to Owen Brew.
Well, they mean business.
Right. Yeah. But honestly, hey man, if you'd if you joined this years ago, you'd been like, hey, I was here first. I'm your boss. I actually was going through one of my small town, where I work in East Central Alabama, went through one of my smaller town areas. And for the first time, I saw probably LDS people walking, or maybe it could have been Mormons. Actually, probably was Mormons walking.
Too much LDS in the 60s.
they were like, yeah. Mormons walking through this like back.
Oh, you're talking Latter-day Saints.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what I meant.
He's but thinking Kirk and Spock over here.
Oh, don't worry about him. He did too much LDS in the 60s. Yeah. Yeah, they were like, I was going down some back road. It was like some sketchy wooden bridge I passed over, and they're like over there in their like black pants, white shirt, black tie, and their badges and stuff. And I'm like, it's like 94 degrees out here, guys.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
And they're dressed up like the Quaker Oats guy.
Pretty much. And it's 94 degrees, just the temperature. It's probably feels like 105. You know how it is, boo, down in there in the Teha.
Oh yeah.
It's never what the temperature is.
Mm-mm. You always gotta count in the humidity.
Yeah. I went outside earlier to water plants, and it was like 5 minutes out there. I'm like, I'm good. I'm going to go back inside.
Yeah, well, you drove into the Hills Have Eyes down there.
Yeah, I kind of did. It was
like, you're gonna roll in there, like they're gonna, you're in the village, man. Look, oh, the bees.
I was driving through like
Wicker Man.
It was a tunnel of a tunnel of trees and like kudzu. Like, is the kudzu had grown into the trees, so it created this tunnel, and we kind of went down.
Yeah, Malachi's back there waiting for you.
Oh man, really?
Children of the kudzu.
He who walks the rose, or he who walks behind the kudzu.
Children of a lesser Godzilla.
It was nuts, man. But yeah, anyways, that's my little story. But you too can be a Ghostbuster.
Yeah.
40 years ago. Good job.
Of course, I can be one now. They won't leave me alone. It's like when I was in college, I was going for a computer information degree, and the Marines were calling me every other week. Like, I got calls from the Marines more than I get calls from telemarketers now. And
God,
what finally got them to stop calling was one day the recruiter's talking to me, and I'm like, hey man, you know, I don't think I'm soldier material. He's like, oh, why do you say that? And I'm like, well, I'm over 200 pounds and I'm in therapy. And he just goes, oh. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, thanks for checking in, but you don't want me. I got problems.
Take him off the list.
Yep. They never called again.
Yeah, man. Back to the issue, though, man. Honestly, this is just, it was, I love seeing the toy accurate art. I know we're going to lose it. We're going to see more of the Sunbow style art, but I'm enjoying this while we have it.
Yeah, when they get the character models in. Yeah, I would have actually liked to have seen this throughout the comic.
Yeah, I mean,
given that it's weekly, like, There's still a lot of issues of toy accuracy.
All right, well, it's bi-weekly now. When it goes weekly, I think that's when they start getting more into the
American ones.
Yeah, the character models. Yeah, and they mimic the...
And the color's always fantastic.
Oh, yeah. We had talked about this. We're with the American comic had newsprint.
Right.
This stuff is like, it was like a glossy, it was almost like a Target ad. You know, it's glossy kind of thin paper.
Yeah, the circulars.
Yeah, which are fantastic. I mean, God, all the colors you can have on these pages. Unfortunately, it makes them...
Yeah, it looks like there were children's books that weren't colored this well.
Oh, yeah. I think Raiders of the Last Ark is going to be our last jaunt with the toy accurate models, because Decepticon Dam Busters coming up after the American Stint. They have like Ratchet with a head and everything.
So besides the American issues, is Furman writing these from here on out for the UK?
Yes.
Not yet.
Well, who else is left?
Wait, is it Furman from here out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for the UK parts, the UK exclusive.
Whatever reason, I thought this one was like a one-off and he came back later.
No, because he did Raiders of the Last Ark also.
Okay.
You gotta love
I might be wrong. I'm not going to double down on misinformation like, you know, other Transformers fans.
Yeah, and he adapted the Decepticon Dam Busters, which was borrowed a lot from, you know, the More Than Meets the Eye pilot.
Yeah, the second episode.
The battle at, Sherman Dam. Mm.
Yeah. What's that?
Oh, well, so Furman often, like, when people have asked Furman about Enemy Within, like, he actually kind of dislikes it. Like, he looks at it as, like, the lowest of his works, but...
Oh, yeah. I could see that, because, you know...
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm not saying that I do anything as good as Furman, but, like, the early episodes I did with this and me and Ed, I mean, I kind of... It's fun to listen to this, see how much I've gotten, but I'm kind of cringy to listen to, because the sound was all bad, and, you know, this and that.
Yeah.
So, when you look at something, you say, like, well, you didn't really know the characters, maybe for Furman's sake. I'm not sure. I'm not going to speak for him. Like, he didn't know the characters as much as he does, and he didn't really embrace it as his own quite yet. Maybe that could be it.
Well, it looks like we have some guest writers coming out, because we have the Christmas issue is done by James Hill.
Okay.
And then Mike Collins writes the next arc, which we discussed this one before, where, you know, Simon Furman tried to, like, kind of talk him into getting more interested in the comic.
Yeah.
So he scripted the Crisis of Command.
There's also a bit of significance here that I think it was last issue or the issue before, they mentioned Tornado.
Oh, yeah.
Like Earthquake and Tornado. Tornado was later used in the Last Stand of the Wreckers as part of Squadron X.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Well, because Sorensen grew up on these issues.
Oh, of course, yeah.
British. That's why his work seems so much like, you know, just the raw grittiness of the UK books.
Yeah. I personally love how that is, because it treats it almost like more like a pulp story than a cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Last Stand of the Wreckers gets real, real deep into it, and, you know, PTSD and war traumas and sacrifice.
Yeah. And the Wreckers actually show up in issue 82, right? First issue with the Wreckers.
Is that Target 2006?
I believe so.
Yeah.
82? Okay. There's a cover with all of them standing up, like all the original Wreckers.
That's when they finally like go into action. But yeah, in Target 2006, they start talking about them on Cybertron with Ultra Magnus and stuff like that.
Yeah, because Magnus is supposed to help them with Operation Volcano.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. God.
The one with the training sequence where Rack and Ruin like bashes in the fake Dirge's head with a hammer?
I believe so. It's been a while.
Yeah. There's one panel, like, because they're in, like, the danger room or something. But, yeah, like, Dirge... Rack and Ruin like sidles up on him, and like one arm is basically just the chopping block, and the other arm swings in with a giant mallet and smashes his cone head right in.
Yeah, looking ahead, the Crisis of Command alternates between Mike Collins and James Hill scripting it.
Okay.
And then when we get into the Icarus theory, that's when Simon Furman returns.
Okay, so okay. He's not quite there full-time yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it was, like, spurts and starts here.
Well, they probably didn't know who they're going to stick with at this time, you know, if they're going to stick with anyone. So
he's even said he would do filler for a while, and he just became, like, the go-to guy for it until it just stuck.
Yeah, you know, I guess, you know, you embrace it. So that's kind of nice. We'll see when we get to it. So I don't know much about James Hill. So I'm kind of curious about that. And obviously I don't, because I haven't read ahead on these. I've read 2006. I've read some of the bigger collected trade stuff of these story arcs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Titan collections.
Time Wars. Yeah, things like that. But I haven't read a lot of the smaller story arc issues. So really excited to see that.
So yeah, Robot Buster, Second Generation. Those are all Simon Furman.
Mm-hmm.
Just peeking ahead a little bit. Let's see what else. Let's see. What else do we have here? We have Dinobots Cut Loose.
There's some Gladiator stuff in there too, right?
Yeah, this is, I think, when Gladiator picks up.
What is the issue with the Gladiator woman on the front holding the head of
American 53? Where the
with
Cloudburst?
Yes, Cloudburst.
Yeah, we got
the
planet way
through the Amazons.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where Cloudburst does not have the Riz, and yeah, that's Simon Furman there for the in the national interest.
Okay.
So yeah, we're getting a lot more Simon Furman after that, and then yeah, it looks like that is Target 2006 starts not long after that.
Cool. All right. Well, you know, it's nice to have him like explore his own kind of story instead of jumping around a writer. So that probably helps a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. When Galvatron first appears in mm-hmm. Target 2006, he's toy accurate for one issue.
Mm-hmm.
He's Kegatron.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's like right at the end.
Yep. Yeah. Like it's like lightning strikes out in this field, and that's when the three of them arrive from the future, yeah. And you see his barrel silhouette.
And that's in issue 81.
Okay.
So that's we're a ways off from that.
What was it, Transmasters, that had a thing about Kegatron? Was that's from? I forget. I remember there was like a farce kind of newsletter thing with Galvatron as Kegatron.
I thought I came up with that.
Oh, you might. I don't know. You might have. It's been.
Yeah. Oh, but you're thinking of. Are you thinking of Trans Spoof?
Maybe it's Trans Spoof.
It might have been Trans Spoof. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. They did that. I just found my VHS of Robots Over St. Paul BotCon 99 that they did.
Man, what was it? The
That was actually the first BotCon we all got together.
Yeah, it was. Old St. Paul. You know, I think we told someone later that we were wandering around the streets of St. Paul. They're like, really? At night? Yeah.
One of us rolled down a hill?
Yeah, that was you. I got pictures of it.
I was liquored up and stupid.
And you roll down the hill. I'm like, well, he's dead.
Yep.
So, and speaking of zines, what Tony Buchanan has Tony resurrected Buchanan. The auto update.
Yeah, he talked to me a little bit. I'm going to, we're going to work together. He's going to put a little blurb about the podcast. I want to make sure people check out auto update. Tony Buchanan. If you can't find him, check out the Axon Underground Facebook page. He's posting there. You can find it from there easily enough.
It's nice to see the zines from back in the day coming back.
It is. It's really fun. You know, things you'd go to like BotCon and buy for $5 for a pile of them.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Oh, yeah. Glenn sent me a bunch a little while back. Those were fantastic.
Oh, nice. So we'll definitely have to look more into that. And Tony, I hope you hear it. We're gonna let you know. I'm gonna put a if I can find what direct towards your webpage. I'll put it in the show notes so people can find it, and get a little cross pollination there with your with the. It's kind of cool seeing the old old guard, as far as the old ATT people, all that getting back involved. That's a good thing.
Oh yeah.
Well, you said so, Trickster showed up on the AEG?
Yeah, I believe she joined on the few days ago.
Welcome, Trickster, if you hear this or not.
Nice.
It's kind of cool to have all the old people coming around. It's it feels nice.
Oh yeah, we see Tut on there, and
oh yeah,
there's so many from the old guard that it's really good to see them still carrying the torch.
Yeah,
exactly. I actually ran into Rosemary Ward last BotCon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Was she doing cosplay?
Yeah, she used to dress up as Baroness.
Yeah, I mean, was she doing it this time?
No.
Oh, okay, because she's always doing cosplay.
Yeah, no, she was there as a fan, although I think what is it, RetroCon?
Mm-hmm.
She was promoting her convention RetroCon there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
okay. Actually,
and she bought some of the stuff I had from the Glenn Hallett box.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
It's good to see the old fans. It's always nice to see new fans, but it's also nice to see the old fans come back around.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah.
And not gatekeeping, embracing the new fans and the new, you know, and how things have changed. It's really cool.
Right.
Exactly.
Anyways, I'm going to cut it here. This has been the conclusion of The Enemy Within. And, man, I loved it. It's not Simon Furman's best story, but good. It was fine. It was a lot better than a lot of the American stories.
It was fun, and it really punched up the action.
You did.
Well, the fact that Furman raises the bar so high that, like, even his worst story is still great.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I mean, dude, I would read this all day long over, like, what was it, the engineer? The guy who had the file? Or
the mechanic.
The mechanic. I read this kind of stuff all day before I'd read the mechanic.
Ugh.
What was the guy?
The road jammers.
Oh yeah,
the guy. They never caught him. They never caught the mechanic. He got away clean.
Is actually the entire time is Gears Garvin,
right? That's where he's getting all the parts from Machine Man.
he stole all the shit out of the back of Ratchet like it was someone looking for Narcan.
there's like, what was it, the is a Robot Master? That was the guy.
Donnie. Well, Kinkelberg. He was
fun. That was a fun concept.
He was a fun concept. They're just not good issues.
We'll get there. We'll get there. They're not far off, actually.
Unfortunately.
The vending machine, man.
Oh, yeah. No spoilers.
Right.
All right, everyone. Thanks for being here. We will see you all next time. You guys want to leave us with anything? Both of you?
You got anything, Andres? We'll let you do this one.
All right. I'm going to be at BotCon in a couple of weeks.
Cool. Go by and say hi. Go to the table. He's going to be there. Be there with Lewis.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Go by.
We're not running the table, but I'll be around.
Time. Okay. Well, cool. Go find him. You'll see him.
It's too far out to lug so much stock.
Yeah.
Last year driving down to New Jersey ain't no thing, but this, you know, going Fort halfway Wayne? Across the country.
It's Fort Wayne, right? Yeah.
Yep. Back where it started, because this is the 40th anniversary of the brand and the 30th anniversary of the con.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, the first one we went to in St. Paul, we drove from Florida to St. Paul, Minnesota. Trust me, I get it going across country.
All right. Yeah.
So, anyways, y'all take it easy and see you next time.
Bye.
Booyah.
Noteworthy Mises Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to you being here every week.